How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Let us pray. Our Father, we do thank you that our dwelling is in God, and we pray that by your Spirit giving to us an inward sense of the reality of your presence tonight, that we may have a feeling sense of that which we know is true in our minds, namely that God is our dwelling place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Blessed are those, the psalmist says in Psalm 84:4, blessed are those who dwell in your house. We say sometimes that absence makes the heart grow fonder. The person who wrote this particular psalm, for some reason or other, was absent from the dwelling of God, from the temple. And as he reflects upon his absence from the temple, within him begins to well up a great desire and interest in worshiping God in his church and in his temple. And so, indeed, as far as the psalmist is concerned, he longed to be there. Do we realize what a great privilege we have as members of the church? To come to church, we say it sometimes so glibly, and we pray and thank God that we're not in communist countries. And yet, do we really, really know what a privilege we have in being able to gather with the people of God? I know elderly people with tears in their eyes say how much they wish they could be right where we are tonight. Not too long ago, I had a lady call me from another state who once belonged to this church, who with every other breath, wheezing, trying to maintain a sentence, saying, I want to be a member of this church because I'm dying. And I know that I'm going to be buried there, and I want to join there. Can I join your church? Do we realize, indeed, what a great privilege we have, not in coming to hear a preacher, not in coming to participate in a good youth program, not in coming to offer our service in international student ministry, but in coming into this place for the sole and singular purpose of looking to God and opening our hearts to Him and having Him speak to us. That's the way the psalmist felt. He perhaps was a Levite. It says to the chief musician, which is obviously a liturgical note, but it also says it is to be on an instrument of Gath or the Gittith, which was an instrument from the city of the Philistine city of Gath. It was called the Gittith lyre or music, and it was an instrument of 10 strings. Perhaps 8. But isn't it interesting how sometimes in our church services we've come full circle, how services started out with brass and with stringed instruments, and now in some of our services we've come back occasionally to listening to stringed instruments being played, and we might sing by those as well. Well, the psalmist says that there are some ways or means by which a person who wants to be happy may be happy in God. You can be happy in God, firstly, by dwelling in Him. That's the first part of the psalm, 1 through 4. The happy person dwells in God. How lovely, he says, is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. The tabernacle is the place where God dwelt. The tabernacle of God, which is among men, is the Lord Jesus Christ, for He came and He tabernacled with us. And now God may tabernacle within us through the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He may dwell in us. The psalmist says, happy is that person where God lives in that person. Not just God, but the living God. We celebrated the sacrament of the Lord's Supper this morning. We held up some elements and we thank God for them, bread and wine, but we don't worship those elements. We often put on the communion table that which I prefer to always have visible in this worship service, the Word of God. And yet we don't worship the Bible. We have behind me a cross, a symbol of our Christian religion, and yet we don't worship that. What we worship is the living God Himself. The psalmist says, my soul longs for the courts of the Lord. That is, he longs for the things of God. He longs to be with the people of God. He longs just to hear the Bible read and prayers prayed and to hear the message preached. He wanted to be with God. When we were traveling through India, after visiting the dark shrines of what we perceive as satanic worship, going into these temples and dark recesses, pressed back up against a wall in little cave-like dwellings, there were idols, the wife of the god Shiva, who was the god of destruction with her four arms outstretched and blood besmeared over her half-naked body, standing happily upon the body of her husband. After being in that environment, it was a sheer joy. It was light in the soul to come into a Christian church in Madras and to worship with God's people. The psalmist desired just to be in the court of God. He wanted the blessings of God, but he wanted something more than that. For he says, "My heart and my flesh cry out, not for the blessings of God, but for the living God." Because what he wanted was not what God could provide. He wanted God himself. When we have reached the point in our prayers, when we're no longer praying merely, "God, make me well. God, provide this. God, bless my church. God, do this for me and do this for mine." When we have reached the point where we pray that, praise God. But when we've reached the point where we pray, "God, it's you that I really want. It is you that my soul longs for more than my next breath." When we have reached that point, we have learned to pray. The psalmist thinks in verse 3 about little birds, the little sparrow. He says, "Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, even your altars, O Lord." And he's jealous for the birds that are able to be within the house of God. Reminds us of what Jesus said when he said, "Not a sparrow will fall to the earth without the knowledge of your heavenly Father." God is so minute in his care for us. He cares for even the little sparrows and the swallows. And then he comes to the theme at the end of this first section. He says, "Blessed," in verse 4, "blessed are those who dwell in your house." That is the theme for the whole psalm, dwelling in God. You know what Jesus said? John 15:5. "He who abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." The secret, it's no deeper than this. It does not get any deeper than this in the Christian life. The secret to the Christian life is abiding in Christ and Christ abiding in you. If you have that, you have all you need. So happy is that person who dwells in God and in whom God dwells. But then the psalmist goes on in verses 5 through 8, the next section, where he says the happy person strengthens himself in God. Look at verse 5. He says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you." And then look at the second part. It says, "whose heart is set on pilgrimage." The image there is a journey. We think of Pilgrim's Progress and the journey of Pilgrim to rid himself of the burden. But we also think of the fact that you and I are essentially on a journey, a trip. That this world, as the song says, is not our home. That we're looking for another place. We're just passing through. The literal translation of that phrase, "whose heart is set on pilgrimage," is, "in whose heart are the highways of life." It is not so much that we are on the path, the highway that leads to heaven, that the psalmist is thinking of. What he is rather thinking of is we in our own hearts should be highways to God, so that other people who look at our lives and who listen to us talk may be able to find the way to heaven by observing our lives. On the way to church, I was going to say on the way to work this morning. Well, I guess that's what it is, in a sense. On the way to church this morning, I passed a man. This was at 9 something, a little after 9. I could watch what was going on because Mary Margaret was driving. And I always watch everything when Mary Margaret is driving. Just kidding. We were driving in, and we passed by a man who was out on his riding mower a little after 9 o'clock on Sunday morning cutting his grass. I don't want to be judgmental about people. I am not God, and I don't know his heart. But I thought to myself, how many people are going to be led to God by such a godless practice? Someone who is cutting his grass in an hour, when the people of God are gathering to worship. That is not a man in whose heart are the highways of life. On the other hand, there are men. A man like Stephen, who was martyred. A man that it was said of him, he was a good man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. There are men whose hearts within themselves, intuitively, instinctively, are characterized by a highway to God. And when you're around these people, you feel yourself drawn closer to the God who is there. Don't you want to be that kind of person? A speaker came to a church. One time, a young man on Sunday morning was there. The speaker was there Sunday night. The young man came back to hear him. And for the first time in his life, he met Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord through that speaker. And that very next week, that young man was riding with the youth director of that church. And it just so happened that another car slammed into the side of the youth director and that young man. The youth director received a scratch, and the young man was killed instantly. But he met somebody in whose heart were the highways to God. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, who has strength for the journey. Happy is that person who strengthens himself in God for the journey, because not by structuring his life or the imaginary trip that we go on, but his own heart contains the path to God. And he shares that by his life and his witness. How many of us have been the pathway to God for people around us? Would someone say that about you? Hey, She is the pathway to God. She is a highway to God. Would they say it about me? Well, going through and on this pathway, one needs strength. And in verse 6, that is what the psalmist talks about. He says, as they pass through the valley of Baca. Baca means weeping. You see, when you strengthen yourself in God, you are prepared for the times of adversity and hardship. And when you pass through the valley of Baca, that is the valley of weeping, you are able to pass through with strength. Martin Luther one time said, after a season of suffering and adversity, to his friends, he said, "Let's sing a song and startle the devil." Sometimes people say, "Why me, God? Why me?" Occasionally we might say that, but sooner or later I hope and I trust that we're all going to come back to the place where we strengthen ourselves in God, because the person who will say that has not been strengthening himself in God all along. Dear friends, if you want God in the valley of Baca, you and I better be meeting with Him before we get there. Happy person contents himself in what God provides. That's the last section. But the psalmist says, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000. You know what he's saying? It's better to be a Christian one day than to live 1,000 days, almost 3 years. That young man who was converted had a very short life, but it was a better life than somebody else would live all their lives, because he knew God. It's better to be in God's presence one day than to have 1,000 days, 1,000 years of life, this life. The happy person contents himself in God. On the comparative scale, dwelling in God is better than anything else we can imagine. He says, I would rather be a doorkeeper. And maybe that was his particular job, was to stand at the door and to keep the door for people who were coming in. I have said before and I'll say again, I envy the men who have the responsibility and the calling of being a deacon in the church, because I think it is a noble and it is a godly and it is a singular profession in the church, and it should be adorned with the highest responsibility when it is undertaken. And the psalmist says, I would rather stand at that door and open it and close it than to dwell in the most palatial setting that I could dwell in. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord God will give grace and glory. What he says is, no matter what happens to you and me on this pilgrimage of life, you can be happy. You can be happy if you are and will be content in God, because he is all sufficient and he will meet every need that you have. No good thing, the psalmist says in verse 11, will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And then look at the conclusion in verse 12. He says, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. The word trust there is actually a participle. That means it is always going on. The way it should be translated is, blessed is the man who is trusting. Not trusted once and for all for salvation. Praise God if you've done it. And you can put a date on it and you can say, that's when I'm saved. That's tremendous. That is a trust that is once and for all. But what we need is a trust that is an everyday trust, day by day. Blessed is the man. Happy is the believer who is trusting in God, not merely for his salvation and his fire insurance in eternity, but who is trusting in God for his daily needs. Blessed are those who dwell in God, abide in me, Christ said, and I will abide in you. Do you long for God as your dwelling? Let's spend a few moments in silent prayer and meditation as we ask God to seal to us all the benefits of His Word and ministry today.